Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Thursday night football tonight on Amazon. I don't know if there's a special extra show tonight. Does LeBron do the extra? LeBron
cast? Oh, I think
cast?
That LeBron was a one-time
Was that
thing.
A one-off thing? Okay. Well,
Don't ask him about it.
Don't ask him. Only certain questions he wants to ask.
Yeah, and he doesn't.
That's a topic for another time. Tonight's game, though, that's what's center stage here, Perloff, because Bills-Patriots is always good. It's always, you know, it's been a very lopsided, can't even call it a rivalry, really, because the Patriots own the Bills for about 20 years, and then now the Bills have, you know, just two in a row, but it's usually a good game. Right now, the spread on this game is 3.5, which I think is basically perfect. It's in Foxborough. I'm leaning on taking the points here. Now, a couple good things for the Bills. They are getting healthier on defense.
Yes.
So Rousseau, Epinesa, some of their pass rushers are going to be coming back, which is exciting. Now, the problem is Von Miller was placed on IR earlier today, which means he will miss the next 4 weeks for the Bills. He'll come back, hopefully, if he's healthy, right before the Bills play the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday night.
So the Bills defense, and you're obviously, I think you're the expert on this, the Jets game, the Jets didn't score that much, but basically people have been moving the ball on them.
They have.
I think, is that the biggest concern with the team?
So
it has to be, right?
The Bills have kind of done the bend, don't break offense.
Yeah, so that's why the yards are bad.
So the yards is maybe not where you can judge them. Where I start to judge the Bills and how I know whether it's going to be like, are you in for a long night here or not, is how are they tackling in the open field?
Mm.
Like, what happens when you get to the second level? What's going on with Tremaine Edmonds, who's healthy now or healthy enough to play tonight? And you know, for the Patriots, they're going to use a lot of Ramondre Stevenson, right? It's going to be a lot of those, what I think is going to be a lot of those quick passes. You know, he's really good in the pass game. What happens when he gets to the next level with the Matt Milanos? Are they going to be able to tackle him in open space? That's, I think, the biggest thing.
Okay. I hear a lot of this. Actually, you said it. There's more at stake for the Bills here because they're competing.
Yes.
But how can you say that? Like, the playoffs are on the line for the Patriots, which makes me think they might be somewhat desperate tonight. Because if they fall to 6-6, there's no way. And this the way this division lines up, so it's kind of a make or break, much more of a desperate situation for the Patriots, right?
Maybe. They might come in as the more desperate team, but they're playing just to get in on the cusp of the wild card.
Yeah.
I think the Bills are still holding out hope that they will somehow win and have the best record in the AFC and still maybe have an outside shot of getting that bye. But right now, the Chiefs just look so strong.
Well, yeah, but the Chiefs have a tough game now. If the Chiefs lose to the Bills, then, hey, we're back in business.
Chiefs lose to the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. If the Chiefs lose to the Bengals, then the Bills have the tiebreaker from the head-to-head.
It's a good argument that the Patriots will be more a little more desperate here. But to be honest, like, the Bills haven't played that well over the last few weeks.
It's funny, the Patriots just are not looked at as a top-tier team by anybody, I don't think.
That's a mistake, I think.
I don't think so. I think
okay.
they're quite average.
Their defense is not average. Their defense is good. I think the question is for the Patriots is, what kind of Mac Jones game are you getting, right? Are you getting one where he is going to be effective or inefficient, or are you getting one where he's just going to kind of make bad decisions and basically, you know, put the team in a bad spot? And quite frankly, what happens when you get down to the red zone? Because that's been a place where the Patriots have been failing.
Yeah, but I don't know. Have they really? Kirk Cousins tore them apart. This supposed good defense.
I know.
Have they beat good teams? I actually don't really remember because it feels like they've sort of been in the muck. They take any game they're in, they're going to win kind of ugly. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like they're kind of a 500 team, maybe one game above 500. They're in that mediocre stage, the middle stage. And I don't think, I'm sorry, I'm not making this a Brady versus Belichick thing, but ever since Tom Brady left, they're a threat to make the wild card playoffs, but that feels like the extent of it.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're last place in the AFC East. So, look, of course, right? Like, no designs on winning the division right now. But I think it's an oversimplification, though, a little bit with the when you do the Brady Belichick thing.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the Patriots, like, sort of floundered that one year there with
right.
Cam Newton and, like, Jarrett Stidham or whatever. And then they drafted a rookie.
Yeah.
So, Mac Jones, I thought, had a good rookie year. They made the playoffs. He made a Pro Bowl. And then the beginning of this season, just, you know, he was all out of sorts, almost, you know, did get benched for Bailey Zappi. And then now he's earned the job back.
Right. But it doesn't feel like a high ceiling team to me. They're 6-5 now. You know, they could easily fall to 6-6 tonight. I don't know. What's it like? Where are they going in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years? Does it feel like they're on the cusp of something great?
Well,
it
depends maybe about Mac Jones, right? I mean, where's the ceiling for him? I know everyone says, like, we've already seen the ceiling.
He's at the ceiling.
I don't know.
What's Mac Jones? I think you look at Justin Fields and say, ooh, what can that guy do? Look at Mac Jones and say, ooh, is he going to develop into Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. He feels very polished. And he looked really good last week, by the way. But it's hard. I'm with it. I think I'm in the mainstream era where we don't look at Mac Jones as this guy with this explosively high ceiling. We think of Justin Herbert that way.
Right.
We don't think of Mac Jones that way for a lot of reasons. And it just feels like the Patriots are in this mode where Belichick's a good coach. They're going to win some games. They're going to make it ugly. They're going to win with special teams. But this formula, I don't know where it's going.
Well, and that really kind of hasn't been what's going on this year with the Patriots, right?
Well, they won 2 weeks ago with special teams.
Yeah, right.
Lost
against Sanders Jets, of course.
They lost it last week with special teams.
And the penalties have been bizarre. The decision-making in the red zone. I mean, you're right. It's still very much a work in progress. But don't you also get the sense with the Patriots, like they did this last year, didn't they rattle off like 5 in a row right in the middle of the season? They maybe peaked a little bit too soon, but you get the sense that maybe at any time things can just start to click. I believe Jonathan Jones is coming back.
I don't get that sense at all.
Okay, so they have the Bills tonight.
Yeah.
Then the next game is Monday night at the Cardinals. Anything could happen there. Then they play at Las Vegas.
Ooh,
anything could happen there.
Getting a lot healthier.
Cincinnati, home for Cincinnati, home for Miami, and then they finish out the season in Buffalo.
Tough schedule.
This is a tough schedule.
Yeah.
The Bills have a tough schedule.
Yeah, I'm not scared of the Patriots moving forward. Okay, here's a question. And Mike Samter, you can weigh in on this too. Of the four teams in the AFC East, who has the brightest 5-year window ahead of them? I think it's obvious. I mean, who has ranked them? Who are the?
I think the top three in the division now can all say they have bright futures. I think the Bills do, the Dolphins do, and I actually think the Jets do if they figure out the quarterback situation.
Isn't it funny? The Patriots are a clear fourth in that discussion when you're looking ahead.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, but that's also because the Dolphins have clearly unlocked something here with this offense.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking to Bryant McFadden, who's a Super Bowl champion defensive back, who thinks that the Dolphins are going to be able to score points on the San Francisco 49ers, which I thought was interesting that he would say that. And then, you know, the Jets, listen, kudos to the Jets. They've drafted well. They just have to figure out what's going on with Zach Wilson. Did I tell you this? I saw odds from betonline.ag. Odds that Zach Wilson does not start a game for the rest of the season is -400. So no is the heavy favorite that he will not start a game.
Is there one forever again with the Jets?
So there's another prop. Will Zach Wilson start a game next season for the Jets? And no is -150. So again, no is the favorite.
At least it's a little bit less heavy.
Yeah. Dude, you just drafted this guy with the second overall pick. That could be it.
Listen, if Mike White keeps balling out, then I'll never have to see Zach Wilson ever again.
Well, let's see what happens.
By the way, are we sure? That's the other thing, too. Yeah, the Jets feel good this week. Are we sure their next 5 years is completely in order if Zach Wilson's not going to be the guy? Because you'd kind of need a quarterback.
Well, they might be able to be in play for like a good veteran, like a Jimmy G or something like that.
Give me Aaron Rodgers. I'll take Aaron Rodgers so that Jordan Love can get his stay over.
Oh, that's how kind of you to take Aaron Rodgers. If you must, you must.
How about you take Jordan Love?
Haven't seen enough.
But think about
the cornerstones that they have for the Jets. Yeah. Like they really do have. So besides the quarterback, which I know is a big but you have maybe one of the best corners already in the league in Sauce Gardner, who's only a rookie. You have a great defensive line, so you have guys who can get to the quarterback. That's always important. And you have good receivers, and you have, when Breece Hall becomes healthy, you have a good run game. You have a decent offensive line. You've invested a lot there.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Joe Douglas, but I just think the only thing that there's only one sure path to sustained success, and that's a good quarterback. So that is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
I agree with you. They're more optimistic than the Patriots because the Patriots basically, they're a one-man gang on defense. Matthew Judon just kills a quarterback.
By the way, Matthew Judon might have a night tonight because both the Bills' right and left tackles. Well, the left tackle is out. Deion Dawkins is going to be out for this game. And right tackle is a little dicey right now, too. Yeah, that's not going to be good. So maybe expect a little Dawson Knox on the line, a little tight end, help block a little bit. Maybe this. Right. That's just me wishful thinking. I heard this one today. I forgot who was having this conversation, so I'm sorry I can't credit them. But has Josh Allen's season been a disappointment?
Yeah, you know, I've heard some of that conversation, too.
Yeah.
Because we raise the bar so much. I think so because of the interceptions. I mean, what are these interceptions? What the heck is he doing?
Well, they're red zone interceptions, and they're costly. I mean, they're back-breaking.
Yeah. And I know he's always kind of done that, but it feels like you expect him to grow out of that.
Well, he's leading the league in them this year. So maybe you weren't expecting that. Played a little bit of a cleaner game against the Lions, of course. But he's dealing with a bad elbow injury. See, here's my worry about Josh Allen, and I'm the biggest fan that you could be of him because he's resurrected the franchise that I grew up rooting for. But one thing I worry about with Josh Allen, you've seen he's fallen out of the MVP race. Now you're getting discussions about whether or not his season has been a disappointment.
Yeah.
Does Josh Allen really start to try to play hero ball now? Like, you get a standalone game tonight. Everybody's watching. You only have, six games left of the regular season, right? Where are we? Week 13? Yeah. You got five weeks left. Does he start to try to make everything up on one big throw, one big play, and try to do that hero ball thing, which is quite frankly, like, it's amazing. He's capable of doing it, but to be honest, the team is better when he does not do that.
Well,
until he needs to.
I don't know. I don't know about hero ball, but there are games where I look at the Bills, I'm like, their only offense is Josh Allen scrambling. It feels like there are times in the second half of games where it's Josh Allen run, but that's not hero ball necessarily. Hero ball is when you try to throw the ball into a tight spot.
He'll do that too.
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care about him running except for the health concerns. Yeah, but that bothers you. Remember the game that they actually went to the running backs? What was that game?
That was the Cleveland game.
Yes, that was awesome.
It was great.
But that's not Josh Allen's call. That's the coaching staff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, everyone can run on Cleveland. And
so, but at least try with your running backs a little more.
They're allergic to establishing the run in Buffalo.
Man, if you had McCaffrey, he'd probably be out by now. I mean, he's already banged up. I don't think he's practicing full time in San Francisco.
No, but why would he? You know?
No, I mean, I think I literally think he's dealing with a real issue.
I think he's dealing with an issue too. And obviously, Mitchell's out too.
Oh man! So you guys like the? Is everyone getting a cynical, negative vibe from Maggie here on this game tonight?
Yes, always.
I mean, like 24/7.
Yeah. You really can't help it.
You want to know what's crazy is now that they decorated our set and it looks so pretty and like holiday time, and it really contrasts with my negativity. You know, it's like I'm really, really like hammering. You know, I'm always so worried about the Bills and I'm always so negative fan. But with all this bright lights, it just doesn't feel right.
Is that
like,
because
it's too cheery?
Are you negative about your own team, which I do too? Because you're afraid if you let yourself be positive, the disappointment of them losing will be too much.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Thank you, Dr. Perloff. You nailed it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to psychoanalyze you because it's too obvious. It's not even considered psychoanalyzing. Let yourself go. Be positive. What's the worst that could happen? That you'd be like, I'm psyched.
How dare you ask me that question?
How do you say I go into this game? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? That you have the game won and somebody throws what looks like a backwards pass or a forward pass and they win the game on a kickoff?
No, what's the worst that
could
happen?
There's 13 seconds left of the game. You have the game won, or you have the game-winning field goal attempt and it goes wide by 2 feet. What's going to happen, Maggie?
Or maybe like someone else on the other team has like the catch of the year, sets him up on fourth down, and somehow you lose the game.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
And fumble the snap in the end
zone.
At least
you had Don Beebe chasing Leon Letdown. What a beautiful moment in Super Bowl history for the Bills. I mean, that was beautiful for Buffalo. I mean, really, really powerful moment.
Yeah, you're right. You keep saying negative, Maggie. It's the only thing you can do to protect yourself.
You guys wonder like why I'm basically of coal
but
in my stocking.
But here's the question, though. Like, if you have the negative feeling, so you're not setting yourself up for failure. When they do win, doesn't it feel less special because you were kind of like down on it the whole time?
When they win, I'll let you know. When they win,
if
hopefully, I'll let you know. 855-212.
She'll have no idea what to do or act. She's just going to be confused.
She's making fun of the guy from Japan who was crying because they moved on to the next round. That's going to be her.
I was not making fun of the guy from Japan. I was just more concerned about the college football playoff in that moment.
Okay. That makes okay, fine. Then I mischaracterized.
Yeah, the guy crying because Japan won.
Yeah. That'll be you if and when Buffalo does it.
Yes, I will definitely cry. 855-212-4C. I'm crying either way, actually. I'm crying if they lose, I'm crying if they win. It's just gonna end in tears, as it always does. 855-212-4CBS. Okay. We will get back to your call. See you guys want to weigh in on 12 teams or 4 in the college football playoff. What is the perfect amount? You can let us know ASAP. Also coming up, we do have the Aaron Rodgers sound. We'll get to that. Stu is nodding at me. We also have great stuff from Patrick Mahomes. Pulling a little oopsie-doop before the draft. Ooh, fun stuff from Mahomes. He was on the Kelce Brothers podcast. We'll get to all that in just a moment. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff straight ahead.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Western One NFL broadcast stream live for free Monday, Thursday, Sunday nights, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WesternOneSports.com via Western One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. All sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All right. 12-team playoff defenders like myself, give us a call, 855-212-4227. If you want more college football in December, more. I'm always a more guy, Maggie. Bring it on. I think a 12-team playoff is going to be a lot of fun. That, I mean, you can at least agree with that part. It's going to be
more
fun football.
No, the tournament will be fun, but what are the consequences, the unforeseen ones that we're not looking at, which is the watering down of the regular season, theoretically, and it's still not going to be fair. Like, if people who are looking for this to be fair, and it's going to be more, you know, more teams in, so it'll be more fair, you're still going to have, like, for example, if we just use these rankings, right, the ones, like, if the college football playoff was 12 teams and if it started today,
right,
you would still have potentially 2 teams, like a Kansas State and a Utah, who could lose this weekend in their either the Big 12 or the Pac-12 championship, and then would get bounced out of the tournament in favor of a team with a worse record just because they happen to play in their conference tournament. That's not fair.
Well, not
that doesn't make
it
anything
record.
Better.
Not a worse
or
record.
Or an equal to record.
Well, no, because they'd both have 4 losses at
well,
that
yeah, you'd
point.
Get 4 losses because you actually made it to your conference championship game. If Utah loses by a field goal to USC, they're going to get bounced because and now FSU is going to be in?
There's,
that
all right,
sense.
There's that. I understand your issue of fairness. It's a good point. But the real issue is crowning the best football team in the country. And I don't think Utah or Kansas State is in the conversation for that. Utah, especially if Utah's not playing in Utah, there's no way they're going to beat these other teams.
Okay,
I don't even think
they're
going to
get. If you
really
want the best team in the country, then only make it 6 teams.
Why? There could be, I think you could go 8 teams this year.
I don't think you could.
Yeah, well, let me see here.
Yeah, keep looking. Let's go to, while Perloff looks, Robert is in L.A. What's up, Robert?
Wanted to weigh in on the 12 versus 4. I've actually for years been a proponent of 8, thinking that's the best number. You've got 5 power conferences. 4 leaves out one of those conference champions, which I think is markedly unfair.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going
to be. They did that
to
themselves, though.
Yeah, well, that's true, but it varies each year. But, you know, I like 8, but if you got to choose between 12 and 4, certainly 12 is better than 4, in my opinion.
Okay. See, you're on Team Perloff. It's crowded over there. Well, you guys are going to get what you wish because not next year, but the year after, it's going to go to 12. So we'll be there soon enough.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Maggie. Yeah. Regardless of your points, which you're gonna love it. Just we're all gonna love it. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be so much fun.
It's like you're telling me to jump into the deep end of the pool or something. Like just jump in. It's gonna be great.
No, I mean, who's not gonna want to see these games? Like Alabama playing an extra game, and Alabama is in itself not having them in the Final Four. It's definitely a blow for the popularity of sport. I'm sorry. Do you think the ratings of Michigan TCU on on New Year's Eve are going to blow anyone away?
Probably not, but I think New Year's Eve, I still don't understand why they play those games on New Year's Eve. I feel like they're doing themselves a disservice just because of the timing. But to be honest, I'm kind of curious how this whole thing is going to lay out timing-wise anyway, because now you're going to be going deeper into the NFL season, where I think the idea is that you play your championship game in the week between the AFC-NFC championship game and the Super Bowl. You know,
the
there's like
college
that,
football?
I think so. That's how far out it's going to go.
Did they already announce that?
I think like our buddy Stu Mandel like wrote about that.
That could be. I don't like the way that they take a huge break after December, the first couple days of December. I feel like that's one of the reasons the college football playoff feels a little anticlimactic, because you've had a month off.
Well, I mean, remember it used to be finals. Remember they had to go to class. And then actually take final exams.
I think the administrators are on vacation. That's the issue.
Maybe that's it also. But I think maybe giving their bodies a little time to heal, but get guys healthy, you know, stuff like that.
I think a month off makes these teams, it definitely takes some of the excitement away.
Well, so here's a question. So this is just going to keep going head to head with the NFL? Like how they're going to, because like, you know, the NFL starts putting games on Saturday.
Well,
pretty soon.
The national title game is on a Monday night. It doesn't go up against anything. So put it, I guess you could put it on a Monday night.
No, I'm talking about all these games.
Yeah, like put some on Thursdays, put some on Fridays. Why not? Let's go.
Okay.
So they have Thursday night football already. So actually, I guess.
The NFL eats up a lot.
So
don't forget the NFL. Well, this probably wouldn't play in. The NFL's going to have, don't.
If you're talking about post week 18, post January 2nd, 3rd, then you could just do it on Thursday night and do midweek, a little Maction.
Like
Tuesday night football.
But instead, it's Penn State Clemson.
I think that'll be actually better for ratings. I mean, honestly, Saturday's a TV death day.
Yeah, but the NFL makes it work with Saturdays when they do the Super Wild Card weekend.
Yeah, but I think they put the better games on Sunday because those are the monster ratings.
Let's go to Stuart. He's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Stuart. What's up?
Hey, great show. So here's my question. I'm kind of on the fence of 4 versus 12, but my school is a competitor for one of the spots every year anyways. But here's my question. How many of these schools are going to get rid of games on their schedule, or are they just going to make these kids play 17 games if they get to the finals?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, Stuart, because you're talking about health and safety. To have 18, 19-year-old guys playing basically a pro schedule, I mean, that's asking quite a bit.
You know these schools will never get rid of games, but I think that's kind of an insanity to make these kids do that.
I think so, too. And, you know, the funny thing, and Stuart, thank you for the call, is like you think about, okay, well, then maybe we could get rid of some regular season games, right? Like those Little Sisters of the Poor games or stuff like that. Well, some of those athletic departments need to play these big programs because they get this massive check just to go to their – you know, go to Alabama and get smoked, or go and lose at Michigan or whatever. You know, that keeps the smaller programs afloat.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that we kind of like look at these 18, 19-year-old football players like they're not pro athletes. They are. And in every other sport, they'd already be pro. Every single other sport.
Sure.
But there's also, I think, a reason why
you can't turn pro until you're 3 years removed from high school.
Yeah, and even that, I think,
to help bodies develop.
Yeah, and even that, I think, is getting a little thin.
For a collision sport like this, it's different.
I mean, guys like Leonard Fournette should have gone pro.
Maurice Clarett. I understand.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who are ready to go at 20. I mean,
yeah, but how many guys might have, I mean,
look at that guy. What's the guy, Harold Perkins? He's 18, I think. I mean, he could definitely.
No, Jadeveon Clowney, I'm sure.
Yeah,
could've.
Perkins should be able to go pro. He's wasting 2 years of $1 million money because he's ready to go right
well,
now.
Well, not maybe not. Well, yes, he would have gotten paid much more being in the NFL, but at least he'll get something.
I mean, Caleb Williams probably could be in the NFL already. A lot of these guys, yeah, whatever. The point is, I understand this fear. First of all, there's only going to be one or two teams that extend these extra games. It's not like the whole sport is being affected by it. I think that maybe we're overstating the health concerns because it's not that many more games.
Well, the other part, though, is like if you wanted to take away games from the regular season, right, to maybe shorten it, then you're basically taking away a game for most teams that are going to have no shot at making this. You know, you don't want to do that either, right?
It's like, and also, too, these other teams, the 5 through 12 who are adding games, they were going to play in a bowl game anyway. So at most, they're adding one or two games. It's not really that big a difference for the whole sport. I understand what you're saying, but I think you're just talking about a few schools who are going to feel great if they advance anyway. It's going to be the best thing that ever happened to them. So they'll live with the consequences.
Turning over to the NFL for a moment, we should check in on our good buddy Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Answering questions about Jordan Love. And that's not going anywhere. Ever since Jordan Love got into the game against Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles, it's been all about who should start, who should sit. Rodgers was asked about it again, about the potential of being benched.
I'd love to finish the season out, but I understand, you know, this is a business, and, you know, there's a lot of us kind of older guys who, you know, play a decent amount, and they might want to see some younger guys play. So, you know, hopefully we don't have to have that conversation, but if that conversation comes up, you know, I'll approach that with an open mind and, you know, without any bitterness or resentment.
Aaron Rodgers now having an open mind to the conversation about being benched in favor of Jordan Love. See, the funny thing he said, like, I understand this is a business, but the real good business move is probably playing the guy you're paying $50 million, right?
Oh, no? I disagree.
Oh,
I think that's
a bad business move? Oh.
I think it's a sunk cost. I think that they, I mean, listen, what's better for the team? See,
I
they
have no
have,
idea.
It's 100% seeing Jordan Love.
Yeah, but say Jordan Love is only, maybe he, you know, played a little up to the standards or a little bit better than he could against the Eagles. What if he gets exposed if you play him for a whole game or two games?
That's okay. I think they need to know, because I don't think if they don't play him, they're not getting any draft capital back for him. I think Jordan Love is going to be fantastic. I'm really excited for Jordan Love.
Jordan Love is your new Trey Lance. I can see this happening because you're a guy's guy. So you have
always loved Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at him. Look at him play. This is the way
smooth.
He throws the ball. It's a perfect spiral, like a 30-yard out. It's awesome.
Yeah, so, against the Eagles backups, but sure.
No, I mean preseason, really. Like, he definitely has a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the way he throws. I'm not saying how he's going to read the field against a real. I'd take him. I would sit at Aaron Rodgers as soon as I could. What's the point? What are we doing with Aaron Rodgers here?
You know, I don't know.
Just seeing him get more hurt?
No, but I did. We had Michael Lombardi on yesterday, who's a former general manager. And I think I'm starting to come around a little bit on what he was saying. You know, you paid Rodgers all this money. Like, what he said yesterday is basically they've made their decision. They're trading Jordan Love. Like, we'll see, but I kind of get it.
I Mike said that very emphatically, but I think there's a chance they keep both. Maybe if they get Jordan Love on a discount. I don't know if anyone's lining up to pay Jordan Love $30 million.
No, it would be the fifth-year option.
Yeah, fifth-year option.
Like,
that's
20
one
million.
Year. The one thing about that is it's 1 year. It's not – maybe they'll do it. Remember, who was it LeRoy Butler said they're definitely going to sign that fifth-year option.
He did say that.
And he's in Green Bay.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up, how close is Russell Wilson to getting benched? That was an interesting twist that we heard from Coach Nathaniel Hackett earlier. So we'll get to that. We also have Patrick Mahomes sound as well. Bottom of the hour, time for a CBS Sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Okay, big game tonight, Perloff. It's Thursday Night Football, Patriots-Bills. So right now, I actually like the Pats plus the 3.5 in this game. I think it's going to be just a close game. It's going to be cold. Doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of wind. I've been all about unders this season, too. They've been working out for me. The total set at 44. I can't take the under. I can't take the under on that.
Right.
I think the total might be a stay away for me.
Give me the health update on all the Bills defensive guys.
So Rousseau is back. Epinesa is back. Von Miller's obviously out now on the IR for 4 weeks.
They're not going to pull a fast one, Matt, with Matt Milano.
Matt Milano should be playing. Tremaine Edmonds is playing. And hopefully Tre'Davious White can play more than 15 snaps for the Bills because he's obviously working his way back from a knee injury.
You know what? This is kind of wishful thinking, but I'll tell you the one I like tonight.
What's up?
I think Mac Jones is going to throw for a lot of yards. I don't know why. I mean, maybe the Patriots try and slow down the game. But the last 2 weeks, he's really been kind of efficient.
Yeah, no, he's been good.
And the Bills do that thing where they let you move between the 20s.
Do.
So 231.5 passing yards. I'm going to take the over on Mac Jones.
Why don't you same game parlay that with one of the Patriots receivers? Because if he's going to have a big night, you got a Nelson Agholor 21.5, Kendrick Bourne 11.5. You have a little Hunter Henry 26.5.
See, no.
Ramondre Stevenson
be all the
for
Ramondre.
Receiving yards 37.5. It's not
that's
that much.
One.
There you
that's
go.
The one. It's okay. Going to be all those little. The Bills are going to give him yards, and he's going to dump it off to Ramondre Stevenson. He's going to get into the back defensive backfield and go.
I bet Stevenson has somewhere around 65, something like that yards. He's going to have a nice game.
What do you expect from Josh Allen? Like, his passing yards is at 265.5.
Yeah, the passing yards, he usually hits the overs on those, so you're probably in a pretty good spot there. But I like the Josh Allen over rushing yards at 44.5.
Oh, yeah. A big game, a must-win game.
I love it. Every time I was like, oh, yeah, it's like really 50-50 whether it works out. I've been tracking your oh, yes. But I also like a James Cook 15.5 rushing yards. I mean, he could rip that in two carries.
Wow, I know. That's low.
But Singletary has been getting all the carries. So
why? James Cook, why are you not playing that guy? I know he had fumbles early in the season, but come on.
No, I agree. I mean, I like him. If he can hold on to the ball, I like him.
Should we take over the coaching staff of this Bills team?
Run-oriented? Yeah, what does Ken Dorsey know? What has he ever done? Oh, sorry, win a national championship.
He's also flipped out in the coach's booth, too.
Yeah, we'd be a little more composed, maybe.
I think that people liked him because of that. Maggie was the only one who was killing him for that.
I wasn't killing him. I was just like, come on, act like you've been there before.
No, that's what you want. You want him to get 15 yards for James Cook. And to not,
16, and actually. To tear 15
up.
And a half.
If they lose to the Patriots, I think you're going to want him to tear up that coach.
No, I will, because I'll be tearing my hair out.
Yeah, exactly.
The other part, though, is I feel like the struggle here, like nothing has been easy for the Bills this early in the season. Things were looking easy. Ever since Allen got hurt, things have not looked easy. I think the Bills have more adversity to overcome here. I hope it lands them finally in the Super Bowl, but I feel like this season is not done handing them slaps in the face, and I feel like tonight could be one of those nights where the Patriots win and then more people jump off the Bills bandwagon and more people talk about Josh Allen being disappointing. I think there's more adversity. Like, the hill to climb here is going to be, it's going to be steep.
The eternal optimist.
Yeah, I know. Adversity, like adversity that they'll learn from and overcome and be a better team.
I'm
because
hoping, yeah.
Oh, man. Why don't you just hope they win? How about that? Just be a normal fan for once, man.
I hoped they win over the Lions, and it came true. How about that?
Barely.
This portion of the show is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code MMP for Maggie and Perloff to get in on the action.
I don't think this is a great game, by the way, and I'll tell you why. The Patriots.
What about them?
There's no game that this version of the New England Patriots is going to be in, and it's going to be one of the top four games of the weekend. They're just not an aesthetically pleasing football program. I think that you just expect something ugly and weird to happen. Look at their last two games. There was the 10-3. They basically missed a bunch of field goals in the win against your Jets. That was ugly. That's probably the ugliest game.
That was
of the year.
A very ugly game.
And then last week, the Minnesota game, they
that wasn't
ugly,
though.
But they uglied it up.
Well, the penalties were stupid.
Yeah, they had all these stupid penalties in an un-Belichickian way. I just don't really know. They feel like they're in limbo. If you look at this whole week, this is a really, normally this would be a great Thursday night matchup, but I feel like it is a little bit like an appetizer for much better games this weekend. Is that fair? I mean, take your Bills hat off for a second.
Yeah, no, totally fair. Absolutely. Although the Bills have found their way into some very dramatic games this year.
You're right.
So don't count them out of making this extremely interesting. Okay, so one of those games that's going to be very good this weekend, and we'll obviously get a lot more into it tomorrow, but that is Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, taking on Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals. Here was Mahomes talking on the Kelce Brothers podcast, but that is not the name. The name is In the Heights podcast with Jason and Travis Kelce. And he was talking about, first let's get about getting drafted by the Chiefs. Here's the real story.
I got a feeling that I was kind of going up in the draft. I had a couple of teams that said they were going to draft me, and I talked to them during the draft process, and they were like, hey, if you're there, we're gonna take you. I kind of gave a little inside info to the Chiefs, and was like, hey, at the time, I didn't know about the Saints, but I was like, if y'all let me go 12 or below, I'm going to get drafted by someone else.
You drafted yourself?
And so I gave the Chiefs a little bit of info on that, because I wanted to be here.
Let's go!
How about that? First of all, do we believe it?
Yeah, I think so. You didn't believe it?
No, I was just wondering. Like, that's a nice story to tell now that you've won a Super Bowl and been an MVP in Kansas City. Like, to say, hey, I gave them the inside info. You better take me or else so-and-so is going to take me.
Yeah, I mean, I think draft, a lot of that stuff happens. Do you ever talk to an agent before the draft?
Oh.
And then they tell you, oh, yeah, our guy's going to go, you know, number four.
Every team, I think they professionally lie to these guys.
The agents then lie. So remember Geno Smith?
A sad one, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people had him going top 10 in mocks, and I think his team was like, yeah, Geno Smith's going to go really high here.
He showed up to the draft.
Yeah, teams have been telling him that. Then he fell to the second round. Little did they know, 9 years later, he would pan out.
Yeah. Man, are they eating their words.
But what annoys me, though, is when a team brags about or tries to claim, oh, we were going to take that guy. We just missed taking him.
Well, that's always what happened with Mahomes. Remember, it was all of a sudden the Ben McAdoos and all these people coming out like, no, I really wanted him. It's like, well, of course, everyone wanted him after the fact.
Well, really, the worst was Russell Wilson. There's about 11 teams who said, yeah, we were about to draft Russell Wilson. And only one team did.
Yeah. Okay, so now Mahomes tells a story about he's with the Chiefs and how Matt Nagy helped him get a head start.
Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator then, he really liked me, so he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
Matt Nagy! How could you?
Let's go!
And yeah, so of course I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays.
I mean, brilliant for Nagy, right? Like, everyone should be doing this. You got to sneak the playbook to your quarterback so he looks like the most prepared, smartest guy in the room. Like, automatically now he looks like a leader.
Are you plotting cheating? He's a cheater. Patrick Mahomes is a cheater. Spygate, Deflategate, and pre-interview tape.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be burning the tapes on this one. I think it's great. It's actually pretty inspired.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing Matt Nagy's ever done in the NFL.
He was a coach of the year.
Yeah, I know. You know, no, nobody hates a former coach like Bears fans hate Matt Nagy. Yeah, I love it. But
I just asked Jets about Rich Kotite. I think you'll get a similar answer.
Yeah, there's a few people they all hate.
I mean, listen, the thing with Mahomes, such a weird thing, because didn't he throw for 800 yards in a game in Texas Tech? Like, we all kind of knew he was
Baker,
talented.
I think, right?
What's that?
I think that was against Baker.
Could have been,
was
yeah.
Was it? I mean, that was the thing about Mahomes, though, coming
like,
out.
We knew he had a lot of talent. I guess people thought he was undisciplined because Texas Tech was an air raid where he didn't have to really run an NFL offense.
Yeah, was it, like, not disciplined or that, like, oh, that worked in college, it will never work in the NFL?
Because it was one of those Big 12 kind of spread offenses against bad defenses. So, right, and we had that for years. Graham Harrell threw for 400 yards a game when he was at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And he couldn't play in the NFL. So that's a really, really funny one. I mean, that draft is an incredible one, right? Because Trubisky went 2, and and then Mahomes went 10, and Deshaun Watson went 12.
Yep.
That, I think there's a 30 for 30 in here that Patrick Mahomes has given us the clues.
Now he wants the... I'm trying to think what else. That was... You know, I'm wondering, Samter, do you ever think that maybe the Jets were one of the teams he was talking about? Jamal Adams was the pick at 6. I remember that was applauded at the time. Do you remember?
God, I've always thought... I have this fantasy where I can go back and take over the GM job of the Jets and take Patrick Mahomes at that spot.
You know, he'd end up being a bust because the Jets are just like
that. What was that GM they had? He went to Dartmouth where I went. And
Mike McCagnan?
Yeah, I think it was McCagnan. And I thought, you know what? I could have done a better job than McCagnan. They had such a great opportunity with that pick.
It's such a name of a fired GM.
Yeah.
It's like, remember Mike McCagnan? It's like, oh, yeah, that guy's a non-memorable gentleman.
Yeah, then I think... The Bengals took John Ross in number 9.
They did.
The speedy receiver out of Washington. Oh, was that a bust? And I think Andy Dalton basically told me, he's like, oh boy. He knew immediately that was not going to work.
Is that right?
And then Mike Williams at 7. Oh my God, I hate looking back at those drafts because I regret so bad the picks that were not made.
Okay. One other funny thing from yesterday. At least I thought it was funny. You were tweeting about this last night. So Prince William and Princess Kate
Middleton, yeah.
Kate Middleton, they were at the Celtics game last night. So they're in Boston for some environmental conference or something. But they were courtside, and it was, like, big on the broadcast. Like, they were showing them nonstop. They asked Jaylen Brown and Joe Mazzulla about playing in front of William and Kate. You can just play them back-to-back, Stu.
I know you guys have played in front of a lot of celebrities, but what was it like to compete in front of royalty tonight? The Prince and Princess of Wales were in the building.
It was just a regular game to me.
Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, how was it like having them there in the building?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
The Prince and Princess of Wales.
Oh, no, I did not. I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one.
You know, I kind of feel bad for the reporter. She's clearly on assignment from probably like the style section or something. She's not, or maybe she's there for sports. I don't know. I don't want to be presumptuous. And like, they're just giving her nothing. Like, these guys just could not care less that it's William and Kate in the front row.
I'm surprised that William and Kate are sitting front row and not in some suite, you know, surrounded by, you know, guards and whatnot. For them.
There's a lot going on right now. I know you guys. So, you know, there's a Netflix thing coming up about Meghan and Harry that's supposed to be like the bombs.
So, oh, wow. Bombshells?
Yeah, but they produced it and they did the whole thing.
Yeah.
They produced it?
Yeah.
Boo.
But it's supposed to be about all the racist claims against Meghan Markle.
Maybe we're back in.
Of the stuff they've been releasing is crazy. So I think Prince William is trying to get his narrative out there.
By going to the Celtics game?
Yeah, like why would he, Mike asked, why would he be front row and center?
Seem like a man of the people in your front row?
No,
that would have been a deck. That's for the everyman.
If he sat up for a deck, that'd be a different story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a publicity tour, yeah.
Of course, yeah. I just think it's, I'm not surprised that people don't care. I don't think I would care either. Am I supposed to care about them?
Well, I mean, they're gigantic.
I know, but we're not British, so it doesn't mean anything to me. I guess it's like interesting because it's gossipy about, I mean, the stuff about Meghan Markle's talking about is way more serious. I'm just talking about the royal family as like as figureheads. To me, that doesn't do much.
Who's the royal family's connection in the NBA or, you know, with the Boston Celtics? Like, hey, you know, hey, this is...
They're big Havlicek fans.
Hey, this is Prince Williams, you know. Yeah. Can we go to a Celtics game in Boston somewhere?
I think they have a much, much bigger impact than that.
In the United States, though.
I think they're pretty big in the United States. I mean, I think, like, the Meghan Markle-Harry thing got,
very scandalous. Like, a regular William and Kate at a basketball game, how much pomp and circumstance does that really deserve?
I think William's big. I mean...
Is he?
Guy's going to be king of England. Yeah, I think those guys are a big deal. They flashed to him probably 65 during a Heat-Celtics game that, by the way, no, it was so boring.
I know.
The NBA season's way too long. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we'll see. I think these documentaries and these things do gigantic ratings in America. People are fascinated. It's kind of like a People magazine thing.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I have 2 episodes into The Crown, so who am I to say? But that's like Princess Diana. I get that. She was like such a big figure.
Harry and Meghan Markle have some of that thing going on.
Yeah, maybe.
There's certainly a lot of social issues that come up every time they're talked about.
No doubt. That's like the more serious side of it. The funny side is William and Kate front row at a Celtics game and the players could care less.
Yeah. I don't know.
They didn't seem like it.
Well, yeah, those guys don't care.
Yeah. Kate and William, never heard of them. 85, I'm not going to give you the number because we got to go. Thank you to Mike Sampter. Thank you to Stu Kovacs. Thank you to Marlo Donahue. Thank you to Allison Cohen. To everyone who decorated this set today, what a beautiful job. It's going to be up all through December. We'll see you tomorrow to preview an awesome week in college football and the NFL.